Drasha for Seder Kitisa Parshas Para Tavshin Samachtes. It's interesting the connection between Kisisa and Parshas Para. Kisisa predominantly deals with the Cheta Egel, the sin of the golden calf, and Parshas Para deals with the laws of the Parah Aduma, which in one aspect was a atonement for the sin of the golden calf. We are still in the month of Adar, about which Chazal tell us, Kishem Mishenichnas Av, Nimatim B'Simcha. Just like when the month of Av enters, we reduce our Simcha, Mishenichnas Adar Marvim B'Simcha. When Adar enters, we increase our Simcha. The Mefarshim asked, what's the Kishem? Why do we have to relate the additional simcha to the minimizing of simcha between Av and Adar? The Chasam Sofer says that just like by Av, it's not just Tisha B'Av that we're not happy, but already from the beginning of the month we begin to reduce our happiness. So too in Adar, it's not just Purim that makes the extra happiness, but even the entire month is a month of happiness. The only problem is that, and therefore we compare Av to Adar to let me know that it's not only Purim. The only problem is that they're not the same. For after Tisha B'Av, there's no idea of reducing Simcha. But by Purim and Adar, the Simcha is the entire month. So therefore I want to say a different idea. Why the Gemara had to say Kishem She Kishenichnas Av Nematim B'Simcha as a preface to Mishenichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. I might think that that halacha, that Adar, is a month of Simcha, is only when there's a Beis HaMikdash. And when Purim was celebrated in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, then Mishenichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. But after Churban Beis HaMikdash, when Orva called Simcha, when all Simcha was diminished altogether, so then it's enough that we're happy on Purim, and the law of Mishenichnas Adar, the entire month being transformed into a month of Simcha, didn't apply, or doesn't apply. And therefore the Gemara tells us, Kishen, Mishenichnas Av Memayit B'Simcha, in the same year, that in that year you're Memayit B'Simcha in Av, because it's after Churban Beis HaMikdash, in that same year, Mishenichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha. And the Maimer Esther on Megillus Esther says that's one of the reasons why on Purim one has to get drunk. Because since Purim occurred when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Purim, and how could one be happy on Purim if he remembers the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? Therefore, you first have to get drunk and forget the Churban, and then you can be happy. But that in itself is very difficult. How can one forget the Churban? That was a person supposed to do, get drunk and forget the fact that we're in Golis. So I was thinking to explain it in the following way. Rav Aaron Cutler Zatzal in Mishnas Aaron explains that in this week's Sedra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that he's no longer going to go with the Jewish people directly. He's going to send a Malach. There's going to be Hester upon him. God's going to be hidden from them, and they're going to have to diminish their tremendous level of the crowns that they received at Matan Torah for Nasa and Nishma. They're going to have to remove those crowns and diminish their level. And Rav Aaron explained that the Rabbanu Shlom explains it's for their good, because when a person's on a very high level and there's no Hester upon him, he sees the Rabbanu Shlom clearly and he sins, then the sin is a much greater sin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik im tzadikov kechuta sa'ara. And the closer one is to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and the higher level he's on, and the more potential he has, the greater the sin is. So in a certain perspective, being distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where things are not so clear, where some of the potential is taken away, if a person's not on the right level, then that is to his benefit. something similar to what the Chofetz Chaim says, that galus is like a hospital. It's not great to be in a hospital, but if you're sick, that's the place to be. Because if you would not be in the hospital as a sick person, you wouldn't be able to function and survive in a normal setting. And that's what the Gemara in Erevin on Samechei Amad Aleph says. Shikores v'lo miyayin. That one of the Amoraim said that he could exempt the whole world from din, from strict justice, from the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and on, because we're drunk, but not from wine. Because in Golis, we are like Shikurim. Our level is diminished. We don't see things clearly. We can't think clearly. And therefore, we're not held responsible strictly for the things that we do that are negative. To explain this a little more, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's standpoint, the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash and the Golus brings a diminishing of Simcha. Because God's Simcha is when His world is perfect and complete, Yismach Hashem b'ma'asov. And when that perfection is broken with destruction, with Golus, then Golus HaShchina kibiyachol, and the Rabban Hashem is hidden from the world, then His Simcha is diminished, and therefore, in the month of Av, we are nosei ba'ol, we empathize with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we reduce our simcha too, because the Rabban Shalom isn't the simcha. But mitzad klal Yisrael, it's really for our good. And therefore in Adar, which also represents a month of Hester Panim, when Haman's gzeira, until it was thwarted, seemed to be the end of the Jewish people, but still, the Hester Panim, the fact that the Rabban Shem deals with us in a hidden way and not openly, is for our benefit. And therefore, there's a simcha in that Hester Panim. And the simcha of Adar is God empathizing with us, because that's for our benefit. We have a similar idea that it says that the Rabban Shalom will destroy the seven nations in Eretz Yisrael slowly. Because if he destroys them quickly, then the land will be desolate, and we won't be able to settle it at that fast pace. And in a desolate land, wild animals come, and we'll have problems with wild animals. So Rashi asks, we have a promise that when we do Ratzon Hashem, we won't have to be afraid of wild animals. Ella, Rashi says, the Jewish people are going to sin. They won't be on that level. They have to be worried about wild animals. What does that imply? I'm sure that God would have liked to destroy those seven nations as fast as possible, because they were a blight on the world. Ubiarto harami kibecho, to destroy the evil from the world and to make God's presence more clear. And if the Jewish people were on the right level, that would be possible. But God saw that the Jewish people were not going to be on the right level. So instead of doing what he would like to do, and we suffering, he accommodated his plan to our lower level and made accommodations to our lower level. So the fact that we're on a lower level, the Rabban Shalom accommodates that lower level. And that's what the Reb Chaim Volozhiner once asked the Vilna Gaon. There's a medrash that says that HaKadosh Baruch was sameach b'chelko. God is happy with his lot. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, how could that apply to HaKadosh Baruch? HaKadosh Baruch has everything. So how could he be happy with his lot? That implies that a person doesn't have everything. So the Vilna Gaon explained, ki chelek Hashem amo, we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's lot. And HaKadosh Baruch was happy with us at every level that he finds us. He'd like us to be better. But he's happy with us, even on a lower level, and accommodates his dealing with us according to the level that we can reach, and the level that we are on, the Rabban Shem accommodates his association, relationship to us accordingly. And that's the Marbim Simcha Ba'adar. Because Adar, Rashi says that it's Marbim B'Simcha in Adar and Nisan. Adar represents the time when for our good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to hide his face from us, and we have to be diminished in order that we should be able to survive. And Nisan represents Nisim Gluyim, open miracles, where God is not hiding his face, when we're on a high Madrega, and we can be accommodated to that closeness and that openness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Both of them are reasons for Simcha. And therefore, the first Nes recorded in the Torah, miracles out of nature, was Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay? The Rabban Shalom appeared to the Avos Bekel Shakai, things that happened within nature, and the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim was B'Shem Havaya, that beyond nature. So the first miracle in the Torah is this Gilui Panim, right? Gilui Shechina, by Makas Bechoros, by Yetzias Mitzrayim, by Kriyas Yamsuf. We saw God clearly. We had an open relationship with Him. And that is what Torah is. Torah is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and gives the Torah Panim El Panim to Moshe Rabbeinu and to the Jewish people, and we find the Rabban Shalom in the Torah openly. Yet the last miracle in Tanakh is a Nes Nistar, is a hidden miracle, the miracle of Purim. And that's why it's called Ayeles HaShachar, the dawn. Just like the dawn is the end of night, this was the end of the period of miracles that were written in Tanakh. And just like the night gets darkest before the day, but prepares for the day, so too that dark time when we can't see the Rabban Shalom openly prepares us to be able to come back to the daytime when we will be able to see him, in order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accommodate our low level and not deal with us in a way that we could not withstand. And therefore, the Torah itself finishes with the breaking of the Luchos, which occurred in this week's Sedra. Le'enei Kol Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos and God gave him a Yashar Koach for doing it. Why? Because by breaking the Luchos, breaking the Torah, it created Hester upon him. The letters went away, the Torah was broken as if God severed his connection with us. He's hidden. But that was Le'enei Kol Yisrael. It was for the sake of Bnei Yisrael. God hides himself for our sake. And for us, it's a positive thing. And that's the connection between Le'ei Kol Yisrael and Bereishis Bara. God created the world for the sake of the Torah, that he should be clear in this world. At the same time, he created for the sake of the Jewish people, and if being clear and open would be detrimental to us, then the Rabban Shalom breaks the Torah too, and he gives a Yashar Koach to Moshe Rabbeinu for breaking the Luchos. Could be with this we can explain a very difficult Gemara in Chulin, Kuf Lamed Tes Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Moshe min HaTorah Menayin, Mordechai min HaTorah Menayin, Esther min HaTorah Menayin, Haman min HaTorah Menayin. Where do we find these four people hinted to in the Torah? The idea being the following. Each of these individuals had a side where you saw God clearly and a side where God was hidden. And the Torah itself, which basically is the revealing of God in the world, has in it also the idea of hiding God in the world when it's necessary. And that is the idea of Moshe. Moshe was called Tuvia. He had another name, Tuvia. When he was born, they saw the Shechina with him. Can't get more than Gili Shechina. There was a light that accompanied him. So he was called Tovia, Tov. Tov is the light of the Shechina. And on the other hand, Moshe was called Moshe because he was put in the Nile and he was raised by the daughter of Paro, and in the end he was punished because of water. A name Meriva. So he got the name Moshe. So his name Moshe represents a hiding of God's face, and his name Tovia represents the revealing of God's face. And that's why Moshe is hinted to in the Torah, B'shagam hu basar, that Lamaisi is a human being. He's flesh and blood. And therefore, God says, I will not leave my spirit with human beings forever. He judged them and he destroyed them by the Mabul. And Moshe Rabbeinu is hinted, B'shagam, in Gematria is Moshe. And the hint being that he's only flesh and blood, and therefore his days in this world will be 120 years. So Moshe Rabbeinu represents the first reason why there has to be Hester Panim in this world, because we are not on the level. We're in a physical, material world, and we're not on the level to see God clearly. Lo yirani ha'odam v'chai. Right? Ultimately, it's impossible to see God and to understand that relationship to its utmost in this world, and therefore, as much as the world is not perfect, that's how much it's impossible to have that clarity of God's presence. So the first reason is the simple fact that this world is a physical, material world, and therefore God's presence can't be totally clear. And then Mordechai. Mordechai had another name also, Psachya. The reason he was called Mordechai is hinted to in Mor Dror. In this week's Edra, we have the Shemen HaMishcha, which was made with the ingredients, many of them that were in the Ketores, which is also in this week's Edra, the incense. One of them was Mor. According to the Rambam, Mor was musk. And Mor Dror means pure musk. Now musk is taken from a non-kosher animal, according to many opinions. It's taken from the blood of that non-kosher animal, which is not kosher, obviously. And this is the idea of Mordechai was Psachya, that opened the gates to heaven. But at the same time, it was Mordechai, where you have this non-kosher animal, its blood, and somehow it's used to bring out the holiness in all of the kelim of the Mishkan, the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil that brought out the holiness in the Kohanim, in the Mishkan, and all of the kelim, and the Ketores, which, when it's burnt, makes an aroma which makes the neshama happy. So you take something that on the surface is tameh, that is asur, a non-kosher animal, and you change it into, and you use it to bring out the holiness in this world. That is the second reason why there is a hiding of God's face in this world, so we'll be able to transform those things that look negative into positive, and to take the world which seems to be separated from God and connect it to God. Kol ma'asecha l'shem shamayim. Everything should be done l'shem shamayim, and to elevate everything to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's the reason why they ask, how could you use something tameh in the Mishkan? It has to be anything that you bring on the Mizbeach or whatever. It has to be Mimashke Yisrael, for something that a Jew is allowed to eat. And it has to be Minhamutr Beficha, something that you're allowed to eat, just like tefillin have to be from a kosher animal, because we learn it from Minhamutr Beficha. But here, we're not using this thing in itself. We're using it as a catalyst to bring out other things. Or we're using it to burn, to bring out the aroma. So then, even from the tameh, even from the negative, can come out positive. And that's the second reason why God's presence in this world is hidden. So we can be able to turn things that seem to be separated from God and direct them towards God and elevate them and make them make godliness out of it. And that's why Mordechai didn't bow to Haman, and he utilized Haman's nisayon in a positive way to get a merit. Esther was also called Hadassah. Hadassim are a symbol, a euphemism for tzaddikim. And when we do sins and we're not tzaddikim, then it's to our benefit that God distance himself from us, because if he'd be very close to us, he'd have to treat us with very harsh judgment. Sviv of Nishara Ma'od, the Ribbono Shel Olam deals with those close to him very, very strictly. So that's another reason why there's Hester Panim. The reason for Hester Panim is that we should avoid a sharp judgment if we're sinners and we're not on the right level. And therefore, the Hadassah, the tzaddikim, who deserve to have God's presence open to them when there's Esther, when we're not on that level, when there's sinners amongst Klal Yisrael, then there's Hester Panim. Vanochi Haster Astir Panai. After we did all the sins the Torah describes, God will hide his face from us in Golis. And that's why Esther herself was subjugated to a strange king and kept distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kibiyachol by her being the wife of this goy because of the sins of the generation. And Haman is also called Memuchan. Memuchan means that he was Muchan Leperanios, that the evil is ready to be destroyed. It has no real existence, but the evil in this world has to give us a pischon peh in order to have free choice. If there wouldn't be evil, if it wouldn't be possible to do negative, then we'd have no free choice. And that's why Haman is hinted to Hamin Ha'etz. God approached other Marishon and he asked him, "Did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from?" Now God was trying to give Haman, Adam HaRishon, the chance to do tshuva. That's why he asked him. He didn't accuse him. He didn't say you ate from the tree. He wanted him to say, "Yes, I ate. I'm sorry. I have charat. I'm doing tshuva." How did Adam HaRishon take it? He took it as if God doesn't know what's going on. So there was the pischon peh. There was the opening for him to either do tshuva or to make the mistake and think that God didn't know what was going on and make things worse. So it's another reason why God's face is hidden from us in this world, so we would have free choice. And I was thinking all of these things are represented in the four parts of the Parah Aduma, four components. And the sin of the golden calf was a separation between us and God, God hiding his face from us, and the kapara is to understand why that hiding of the face itself is, in many aspects, a positive thing. And that is the Parah Aduma itself teaches me that you can take something that's tameh, bad situation, the ego, burn it, and use it to make things tahar. That is like Mordechai. That reason for Hester Panim. Because we can then take the apparent negative things that are separated from God and direct them towards God and elevate them towards God and turn bad into good or pareth into kedusha and into mitzvah. The Eitz Erez, the cedar tree, right, represents the greatness of man. What's man's greatness? That he has free choice. If everything would be clear, we'd have no free choice. There has to be a pischon peh. There has to be a place to make a mistake. And therefore, things have to be hidden. So the second reason why God's presence can't be totally open in this world is to enable us to have free choice, which makes us stand like a cedar tree, tall and proud, the greatness of human beings that have free choice. And then there's the azov, the hyssop, a lowly bush, which represents that when people sin, and not that when they sin, but when people, this world is a lowly world. It's a world of physicality and materialism, and therefore it's impossible for God's presence to be totally open. And that is the idea of Moshe. That lo yirani ha'adam v'chai, that because of the nature of this world, God's presence is always somewhat hidden. And finally, the shni tolas, the piece of dye, the piece of wool dyed red, is a symbol of sin. That's the concept of Esther, that when we sin, it's for our benefit that God distance himself from us, not to judge us with a harsh judgment. So therefore, from this Seder, we see that Kishem Shemishenichnas Av Mematim B'Simcha, just like the Churban, the Golus, has an aspect of diminishing Simcha, especially by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, still there's an aspect of that hidden face of God to be a Simcha for us, because for the reasons we said, it enables us to have free choice. It enables us to take things in this world and direct them towards God. It shows that this world is a world where it's impossible to have that close connection. But that's for the next world. And when we sin, it's better for us not to have that close connection in order that we are not the object of very, very harsh judgment. If we understand that and we use the Hester ponim of Adar properly, then we'll be zoche to come to the Gilui ponim of Nisan. He made Seischem Eretz Mitzrayim Arenu Niflos. And as in the days when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, he showed us open miracles and had that close connection to us. And we won't need any more that hospital. We'll be healed. We'll be able to go out into the light, into a real world, a normal world, a healthy world of Geula Shleima B'mheira V'yameinu.